Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. We're so happy to have you join us. And together with Tracy, Andrew, and Claire, let's make bringing your drives to life practical and fun. In our Drives and Action episodes, we'll share stories of drives at play in everyday scenarios so you can relate and gain deeper understanding of your drives. In our Driving Impact episodes, we'll sit down with incredible guests who are using the Drive framework and tools to create meaningful impact, both professionally and personally. Whether you're here to better understand yourself, your team, or simply curious about living a thriving and inspired life, you're in the right place. So let's dive in.
This is another wonderful episode of our Engagement Fits podcast. We welcome you all back to learning more about one of the accomplished drives called Scheduler. As we go through this and unpack this drive, think if any of these points resonate with you and how Scheduler plays out in your life.
I'm going to take us through the definitions on the needs of a scheduler. As a scheduler, you may have a strong need for predictability, hence your love for routine. They thrive in structured environments due to your need for predictability. You are very likely to be a strong planner. You may naturally break goals down into step-by-step action plans with milestones and deliverables and schedule timelines. Having a structured plan helps you execute with efficiency and reliability and be productive. You may streamline processes and projects into efficient and structured workflows. You may prefer to be given exact instructions about what is expected before acting as the reliable machine in the background that ensures the work is carried out as planned. You may be meticulous and perfectionist in your expectations of your own and others' outcomes. Schedulers are reliable, neat, structured, and enjoy routine. They thrive in conditions where they are allowed to plan the work and work the plan in an orderly, predictable, and stable manner without sudden change or chaos interrupting them. The needs of a scheduler are predictability, to be planned and organized, structure and routine, neat and orderly environments.
Thank you for that, Claire. That was a lovely detailed description of the scheduler drive. Remember, we always speak about that each drive has booster drives. Our scheduler pairs beautifully with the moderator because both of these drives value order, predictability, and routine. Moderators like to work within the safety of rules and expectations, then follow clear procedures. Well, schedulers like to create structure and order, then plan the work and work the plan. So you can see how they just fit so nicely together. And then our scheduler-sniper combination. Cool. Both of these are strong at staying on course. Schedulers are strong at unpacking a project into a step-by-step scheduled action plan, then reliably following the plan, while snipers are strong at unpacking the goal into an order of priority, then narrowing the focus and locking onto the target. Together, one would have structured, prioritized, and scheduled planning, coupled with intense focus, precision, and reliable execution of milestones.
Thank you for that, Trace. And what I'm going to quickly go through is the contrasting drives with the scheduler drive. And the first of those is scheduler first responder. First responder wants surprise and change, where scheduler wants planning and predictability. Scheduler navigators, the second contrasting drive combination. Navigators constantly look ahead and are quick to change direction and maneuver, where schedulers need structure and like to plan the work and then stick to the plan. And for both Claire and Tracy, scheduler is a drainer for them. For me, the scheduler drive is in my top 12 drive. So it's a neutral drive for me, but it very much influences my other dominant drives. And I can see this in many aspects. What I would like to ask both Claire and Tracy is what that contrast of first responder and scheduler looks like for them. And I think it's important to clarify here that scheduler is not the skill of scheduling. This drive is being able to take goals and break them down into structured action plans with milestones and deadlines, and then to keep committed to the plan so that the goal is achieved. With schedule as a drainer, for you, Claire or Tracy, how do you see that playing out for yourselves? Claire.
As a drainer, for me, scheduler is actually an irritation. I cannot actually have people that are going to be time watchers, and that just doesn't work for me. But I know that I draw from my coordinate in order to get things done. So I do a certain amount of planning, but I think it becomes an irritation when it just seems like it's just too much. I am going to say free-spirited when it comes to planning and getting things done, but I stick to some sort of a little bit of a routine. But where a scheduler goes and where I am, I find that too heavy for me. And as a first responder, it's a natural response for me to jump in when things are a little chaotic or there's no structure, there's no plan, and I've got to quickly make a plan and assess the situation. That's where it plays out for me, but I'm not going to say that it works the same way for everyone.
I think one also needs to remember what first responder is all about. First responder is having pressure in the moment, in dynamic environments, and they need to respond to urgent need in the moment. Now, by very definition of how that drive energy works, it's not something you can plan for. Whereas scheduler is very much about taking the time to come up with a plan and then being able to follow that plan. And in that way, it brings predictability, stability, and all the rest. Claire also alluded to the coordinated drive, which is strong for both Tracy and Claire. With their other dominant drives, their way of getting things done will look different, and they definitely will have plans, but it's not what the scheduler drive is all about.
From my side, it's a little bit of mantizing with the way Claire sees it. But just to give you an example, I did not find out what baby I was going to be having because I love surprises. Okay. I don't want to know. I want to be surprised. So I think that plays strongly with me. It's not so much if people are planning around me, I don't find that draining. I think where I come from is I don't see the need to plan. And maybe that's a bit cheeky, but I think with that strong navigator, doesn't matter what happens, I will very quickly be able to chop, change, and make a plan. I don't see the need for structure. Andrew and I often talk about even making this podcast. For me, it's very much, let's get started, that initiative drive, let's get started, and we'll figure it out on the way. The navigator will work it out, we'll think on our feet. So for me, the way I think, plus the coordinator, it's just, there is no need for planning. Not deep structured. Yes, I have my diary. I tick off my diary and I've done things. I have a plan for my week, like you say, Andrew. Straight schedule. Of course, I have a plan. I know where I'm headed to. And maybe also just thinking about it, maybe this very dominant visionary, where I know how it's going to end up. Why do I need to plan it? I think I come from that point of view where if you are around me and need to do planning, that's absolutely fine. I don't see the need, the deep need to plan.
I've got an example for you. I come from the travel industry and I get excited for a bus trip. I get excited for a train trip. I get excited for a 1 hour flight. Like, that's just me. And I was traveling with people. There was one particular trip where a friend of mine needed everything on the itinerary to be planned. And I was like, that doesn't allow for me to veer off just slightly because every minute needed to be planned. It was an irritation for them because they needed an itinerary before we even left. And I was almost drained by the time we were supposed to go on this trip because I'm thinking I like to be able to walk down a street and find a cafe and then think, oh, you know what? I've got an hour. Let me enjoy the scenery and the food and the people. If you're going to plan everything, it doesn't allow for me to sit and have that coffee if I just found a beautiful gem somewhere. And I think that kind of ties it up nicely for us, because as someone also with navigating in my dominance, I wanted to have that free will to be able to change or enjoy something. And I almost see that voice as being taken out when everything is planned down to the last minute. Mm. I'm like, okay, let's plan a few of the days, not the entire thing. And that was not a compromise. But it was more around planning our arrival. So we knew exactly what we were doing the first 1 or 2 days and maybe the last 2 days. And in between, it was like, let's explore and enjoy. And that didn't quite sit well with the person, but we did manage to have some portions that were planned in between. But I want to know that if I am traveling, I've got a tour on this day and I've got a tour on that day, so I don't plan anything around it. But if I do see something before or after the trip itself or the tour, I can still enjoy that. But now if you're going to plan every minute down to the last detail, it doesn't allow me to enjoy what's outside of that plan.
And if, as you're listening to Claire with that great example, couple of insights there, remembering that both Claire and Tracy have dominant pioneer drives too. It's all about some drives that play towards spontaneity and surprise, especially when it comes to vacations or something that you've planned. You don't want to be predictable in every aspect of that, because playing strongly to the spirit of adventure with Pioneer, even for those where Pioneer is not strong, we're not all so focused on a plan that we don't like some sort of adventure or spirit sometime along the line. And that's the key. I think the other thing that we're hearing strongly from our conversation here is when it is just you involved with your dominant drives, you can play very strongly to those drives as long as it doesn't impact other people in a team or with that you're working with, then that's absolutely fine. Go wild. But I think the awareness comes in when you're dealing, both Tracy and Claire experience life and process life fast. But for people like me, it's not that I can't be spontaneous, but sometimes the need to be able to think about something is as important as what we're going to go and do. Trace.
That was great insight, Andrew, because actually, as Claire was giving us an example, my pioneer was going, I'd be going down the street on my own. And exactly that, in a team situation, even though I'm strong caretaker nurturer, other people's needs would not be, because I would be like, I'm adventuring now. Mr. Pioneer is off on a thing. And as we know, in a team situation, we have to compromise. We have to find where do we leverage each other's drives.
And to be clear, as much as it is about compromise, there might be situations. And remember, in this framework, we're always saying, what is the best tool for the situation or context? There might be times where we need Tracy and Claire to take the lead with the pioneer, with the first responder, with the navigator drives, all those fast drives that can handle the pressure, that can handle the uncertainty or the unknowns better than somebody like I may. And that builds confidence for me to follow their lead. Due diligence is required. And there needs to be a bit of thought about how we do this. And that's where I can take the lead. And that's the whole point around what we call strengths-based leadership. We're going to just have a look at a couple of situations around managing this drive energy, which is worth noting. One of the points is that this drive, and we heard when Claire read through the description, they need structure, neatness, order, and planning. And for me, when we listen to Tracy go through the booster drives, so both Sniper and Moderator booster drives are dominant drives for me. And so they complement the scheduler drive of mine, even though it's not a dominant top 9 drive, it very much influences around the way I do things. So when it comes to me operating in a situation which is contrary to my other dominant drives, what is very important for me is to create structure, to create neatness, to create a way of working so I can be methodical and systematic in the way I approach it. Whereas other people like Claire and Tracy may be able to navigate that space in a very different way because their capacity to handle the pressure and the chaos is far better than mine might be. One of the other points that's interesting to note is that life doesn't play by rules. Life is typically chaotic and life is typically unpredictable. And so for people who have strong drives that play towards stability and predictability, like I do, one has to also recognize that you're never going to have situations that go your way all the time. And herein is the aspect around managing that strong need for predictability. And that's not easy to do, but like all of these drives, in order for us to make impact and for it to become a strength, it needs managing. And that managing starts with awareness. And then it's daily intentionality around how you get triggered in certain spaces and how you use this drive energy in a way that's productive and impactful as opposed to it being detrimental to yourself and others.
Andrew, can I just ask you a question? I just wanted to touch a little bit on when you say creating order and structure, is this like in every part of your life? If you can just elaborate, what does your life look like when you say order and structure?
Okay, so obviously you can't create order and structure in every space, but one of the areas that I am relatively strong in is in terms of admin and paperwork. But if I walk into an office where it looks like a nuclear bomb hit it, I can't start working in that space until I've created my own structure and order there, because it has to be in a systematic way of working. Before I can get going and pull the trigger on getting started, I would need to settle down and think about how I'm going to do this and then come up with a strategy and go for it. Does that give you...
I completely understand that. And then if somebody was to walk into your house, Andrew, what would your office, your kitchen, your cupboard drawers look like?
So that's a great question. And I think it's a very important question because one of the aspects of this particular drive, like Sniper, like Schedule and others, is to manage the perfectionism component of these drives. There's nothing wrong with neatness and order, but when it starts becoming unrealistic in terms of living, that's the aspect of these drives that needs managing. So my home is generally, I have a few places where I know things are. Fortunately, my wife thinks the same way as I do. So when I need to go to something, I know it'll be in that room, in that cupboard. But it is definitely not color-coded or the sort of precision and neatness off the charts. It works for us. I have a family member who also has structure in the way they do things. But in my mind, it's chaos. I can ask them where something is, and they can say, go to that stack of papers, count 20 down, you'll find what you want. I can't work like that.
If you're living with somebody that is very messy, that could be a really trigger for relationships.
And it's a great awareness, Trace, because in this framework, I love this from an interpersonal perspective in significant relationships. What we have found with this work is that very often like-minded people are attracted to each other in relationships. So you might find a lot of dominant drive energy or upper neutral drive energy that's similar. But as sure as nuts, there will be somebody, one partner's dominant drives are drainers for the other partner and vice versa. A lot of conflict in marriage can be better dealt with that awareness and understanding. It is a lifetime commitment to working in that space, but it starts with awareness. If you don't know that, it's highly detrimental to the relationship.
Even though scheduler is a drainer for me, doesn't mean I don't like structure. Okay. Scheduler is, I don't need to plan. For me, it's a way from planning. But I have just recently, we've just redone our kitchens, got a new kitchen that packed everything in and put everything like I wanted. I've just recently done my cupboards. And now everything is where I can see it. So that does make me feel good. It's interesting understanding what the drive means to you.
Yes.
And how it plays to you.
And if,
thanks
and
for that,
Tracy, and I think it's really important to mention again, like Tracy was saying, that these drives don't operate in isolation. Our dominant drives, neutral drives, and drainers have a direct correlation to the chemistry of how those drives work in situations or scenarios. And that's where the diversity comes from. That's where the diversity in thinking, feeling, and getting things done, relating and getting things done comes from in this framework. Claire?
I want to find out from you then, with scheduler being one of your dominants, do you find pockets of areas in your life where you are like strong scheduler and others where it doesn't play so strongly? I'll give you an example. So maybe you're a scheduler when it comes to work, but when it comes to your home life, you're not as strong as a scheduler. Is that possible? And how does it work out for you?
So absolutely, that's possible. And I think maybe a way to think about that is how your other dominant drives play into that and how they influence it. Scheduler, as I've mentioned, is in my top 12 drives, but it's not a dominant drive to me. So it definitely plays into that. But I would err more on the side of being more adventurous without needing a plan as opposed to somebody else. And there's definitely that component. Where I've noticed this in working with both of you is both of you have a strong tendency towards creativity and being able to think on your feet. Sometimes when we work together, I can't get into the same headspace without some sort of framework or structure on how to get there. So we've had discussions around how do we do things better or what's a better way of doing things, or when it comes to planning or creating things. Here are the ideas. Now, I need some sort of structure so I can tag that creativity onto. I can't just approach it because both of you can go off the map for creativity. I get stuck when I can't see. I can only see what the map holds. So outside of the map, you're going to lose me. You have to link me into how to get there.
How do we do that? How do we link you in? What do you need? How do we create some sort of structure for you? What does it look like?
And that's another great question, Trace. And for me specifically, when it comes to that, is my need to understand what you actually wanting. Because remember, I've got two drives.
Communication. Is it a lot of communication?
It's beyond communication, though. Sometimes it feels like, it feels based on feedback from either one of you that you're not understanding where I'm trying to go. And we miss each other. But I can't just do something without understanding why we need to do something.
Okay.
And the more you can communicate that to me in terms of saying, remember, I've got a lot of drives that play towards finishing something. So if you're going to start something out of a creative space, what's the end goal? And how do you connect that for me? The more you can help me to say, this is what needs to be done. this is how we're going to do it, then I can engage.
And I can very easily lose you, Andrew, because I've envisioned it. I know what it looks like.
Yes.
And because I can navigate it, I know how it's all going to work. I'm going to be able to, so I can see how I could lose you. Absolutely. Because in my mind, it's going to happen. It's so strong. Come on, just come with.
Exactly.
I can see how people can lose because exactly that. And whereas you needing some kind of a base, something you can attach to, and it's not there yet. Okay, thanks for that. That's great insight.
I agree with you, Tracy. It makes sense to me as well because both of us have pioneer, both of us first respond. But if I look at someone like my drives, innovator, integrator, I'm like, okay, you know what? I know where I'm going to, but if I need to like veer off just a little bit or do something different, it's going to make it even better. So I can understand that you get this plan, like I've communicated what it's supposed to look like at the end, but then I'm going to change course because I see this innovation. This is going to be even better. And I'm not understanding that. So thank you.
Yes. And Claire, I'm also strong innovator integrator. So we're very similar. I think my caretaker probably comes in as in a sensing. And I think that's why I'm probably better at understanding people and seeing where they're struggling or where they're not. I would imagine that's because I've got that sensing. If you don't think about that and you're so busy on your path, you're navigating things, the sensing could fall away because you're so pioneering. So yes, that's your lovely insight.
It is right far up, and I think it plays strongly with some of my other drives. I'm able to quickly change course or do something, and it doesn't help either that I am an enthusiast. So I'm going to see everything as, no, this is working.
And as Tracy and Claire are explaining this from their perspective, I'm sitting on the other side of the spectrum with a lot more drives that need time to think, need time to plan, and to have a process and a structure. Both of you played to a lot of the starting aspects of getting things going. And this is where, in this framework, it's valuable to have team members that are like this, because once that initiative is off the ground and it's working, these two may have a tendency to move on to the next thing. But whatever's been started needs to get finished. So as long as I've got clarity on the goal, then I can engage in the areas that I need to and get the thing finished. But for me, I need clarity on how to get started because initiator is a drainer for me. We hope that conversation has given you a little bit of an insight as to how these drives play out and how the dynamics of each of these plays out. And this is where the really valuable work comes in terms of working with teams. Because so often in a team dynamic, in a work situation, or in an interpersonal relationship, these things are at play. As Tracy was mentioning earlier, you've got the one spouse, for example, who's a dominant planner. Everything needs to be planned. And the other is very spontaneous. Or one who's very outgoing and the other ones are more reserved and is not energized by that. And we hope that in our describing these drives so far and having these conversations that it gives you a little bit of an idea of the nuances of this and how it plays out. And how does it look like for you?
Thanks for joining us on this exciting journey of self-discovery and fulfillment. We hope you found inspiration, practical takeaways, and maybe a deeper understanding of how drives work in action. If you want to discover your drives, head over to engagementfit.com and take the drive assessment. If you love this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button. We'd also love to hear your thoughts. So leave us a review or share this episode with someone who's ready to unlock their drives and thrive. Until next time, keep driving towards a life of meaningful impact.